Right now, we got to the fan hotline. My pal Joe Smeltzer covers Penn State athletics for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, you and I talked on air over a month ago, maybe even 2 months ago at this point, about the prospect of Joey Porter Jr. becoming a Steeler. We thought it would happen at pick 17. What was your thought whenever Porter slipped all the way out of the first round? 31 picks go by. He doesn't get selected. Then the Steelers end up getting him at 32. That had to surprise you a little bit.
It did, Donnie, and thanks for having me on. It surprised me, but a few days before the draft, I forget what day it was, but I know it was draft week, I read that Peter King, who obviously is very credible, maybe even the most credible of NFL writers outside of the Kiper McShades of the world, a very credible draft source, and he wrote that Joey Porter Jr. could slip and could even slip out of the first round. So I had an idea that it might be coming. I still thought Thursday that he would go in the first round, but King's report kind of put that thought in the back of my mind that maybe he would slip. And then when he did slip out of the first round, I think we all thought that, hey, either the Steelers are going to take Joey Porter Jr. at 32, or they're going to trade out of pick 32 and then make something else happen. And obviously, they chose the former of that and picked Joey with the 32nd overall.
Something else we also brought up in that previous conversation, Joe, was sort of how you had some concerns about his fit with the Steelers, being that he might not be that prototypical corner that Mike Tomlin likes to have. But now that he is on the roster, how do you think he does fit in?
Yeah, and when I said that, I was talking more from like a prediction standpoint of what the Steelers would do in the first round, and I thought that some of the concerns with Joey Porter Jr. and Mike Tomlin's eyes would kind of sway him in another direction in the first round, and you can't really say I was wrong there because the Steelers traded three spots up to draft somebody else. But now that he's now that he is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and we're looking at how he would fit in Terrell Austin's offense, yes, the concerns I mentioned in March are still there. He's shown poor hands in the past, only one interception at Penn State, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in this call. His tackling in run defense is a little iffy in run support, but Terrell Austin likes to play press coverage, and Joey Porter Jr., that's his bread and butter, right? He's a cover quarter, a guy you'd put on the opposing team's number one receiver and be confident in him to shut that guy down. So talking from a strategy standpoint, from Terrell Austin's perspective, I think, hey, if the Steelers want to be a team that's comfortable playing man, Joey Porter Jr. is a good guy to kind of launch that. And to answer your question, yeah, I think he fits pretty well in Terrell Austin's system from a press coverage standpoint, which the Steelers like to do in that scheme, as long as they have the personnel.
You brought up the one interception in his entire career as a Nittany Lion. That's obviously the glaring thing that a lot of people look at in terms of the lack of production that you could say Porter had. But is that the reason why you think he slipped through the first round, or is there something else that was going on, the reason why we did not see Porter picked in the first 31 selections? And there were other corners. Emmanuel Forbes went 16. Deontay Banks went later in the first round. So I thought Porter was probably the number three guy, but was there some other reason why he slipped out and was like the fifth corner taken?
I think if there was a big reason, Donnie, we probably would have heard it by now. A good example of that is, you know, Will Levis's toe issue. It's been reported that that was a big reason that he ended up falling out of the first round, another Penn State selection. So aside from, I don't think one pick really helped Joey Porter's draft standing. I think this was a pretty deep class of quarterbacks. That probably led a little bit to him falling. But as far as something that we don't know, I don't think so. I don't think there's a big story there of why he slipped. But, yeah, talking about the one pick, it is a concern. Obviously, you want your quarterback to be able to get interceptions. Omar Khan even mentioned that when he was talking about Joey Porter. Steelers GM said that that's something they'll like to work on with him. And it's a little more concerning from the Steelers standpoint because, and my boss at the Sports Now Network, Alan Saunders, did a pretty good breakdown of this for Steelers now. We all know that the Steelers have not done well at developing corners at all. They haven't drafted one since 2019, and that was Justin Lane. We all know how that turned out. Pretty much a disaster. Justin Lane never had an interception with the Steelers. 2016, Artie Burns, first-round pick, awful. Only four picks in four seasons. Cam Sutton, who was actually pretty good, but Sutton only had three interceptions in his first four seasons, and then he picked it up and had five in the last two before signing with the Lions. But you notice a trend there, and the trend that is, I think, part of the reason that the Steelers haven't had success with the quarterback they draft is because those quarterbacks haven't been able to make big plays and make interceptions. But I think on the flip side, Joey Porter Jr. only had one interception at Penn State, but he ended up being an early second-round pick and a guy that most people expected to be a first-round pick. And that, to me, says, Donnie, that Joey Porter Jr. was able to work around only having one pick pretty well and highlight the other things that are strengths in his game. And obviously, you'd like Joey Porter Jr. to be a little more explosive, I guess, and create more takeaways at the NFL level. But if he's able to accentuate what he's already shown to do very well at Penn State, if he's able to do that enough in the NFL, I think Steelers fans can live with that if maybe he doesn't have as many picks and big plays as they want.
Yeah, I don't always think, Joe, that it's the end-all, be-all that a corner has just a bunch of interceptions, because sometimes the guy can have a half dozen interceptions and he's giving up a half dozen touchdowns in the same season. I think it's more important at the NFL level that you have a guy that could possibly take away an entire side of the field or at least the top target for another team. Do you think that Joey Porter Jr. has that type of potential?
I do, yeah. And teams weren't targeting Joey Porter Jr. After the Purdue game, where Purdue threw him, I think, about 9-10 times. But after that, Joey Porter Jr. showed a lot in that game, and I think part of that was why teams just didn't really throw his way that much the rest of the season. Even Ohio State didn't throw his way all that much when those two teams played in late October. But yeah, it's kind of hard with quarterbacks because teams can avoid great quarters. Like, for example, going back to some of the Steelers picks, teams are going to have to deal with Broderick Jones. Kenny Pickett, quarterback, obviously, everything he does is under a huge microscope. Najee Harris, the Steelers can hand the ball off to him whenever they want to. Quarterbacks, you know, if teams aren't throwing your way, that's a good sign for a quarter, but also, when that's not happening, a quarterback isn't really given a chance to show what he can do. And if it happens where teams just aren't targeting Porter for multiple games or so, which is what happened at Penn State, maybe some fans will look at that and say, well, this guy's a first-round pick. He hasn't made any big plays. You know, what gives? But, yeah, I think him being the shutdown quarter, he could definitely be that type of guy. And that's really his main strength. And as I mentioned earlier, if he doesn't have a lot of big takeaways but can do that well, I think Steelers fans are going to end up being pretty darn happy with this pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this day and age, I would rather have a guy that can do that you really don't even hear about all that much because the team never throws it in his direction. I mean, if they're playing a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, let's say, and, you know, maybe not this year, but maybe in future years, if he's taking away a player like Ja'Marr Chase, I don't care if he doesn't have any interceptions. If Ja'Marr Chase has three catches for 35 yards, that is a terrific game from a player like Joey Porter Jr. Joe Smeltzer, our guest right now from Nittany Sports Now. He covers Penn State Athletics. Joe, what is the ceiling for Joey Porter Jr.? How high can this guy get?
That's an interesting question, Donnie. Well, I think to answer this question, going strictly from Steelers past quarterbacks, the two best quarters in Steelers history are Mel Blount and Rod Woodson. We can debate the order, but there's really no debate that those are the top two. And I can't say Joey's going to get to that level because those are two of the best quarters, not just in Steelers history. We're talking NFL history. But talking about some other guys the Steelers have had, I think Ike Taylor is an interesting comparison. for Joey, because Vic Taylor was a guy that didn't have great hands, dropped a lot of would-be interceptions, but still had a pretty darn good career with the Steelers. I think Joey's ceiling is probably higher than that, because remember, Vic Taylor was a third-round pick, I think, out of Louisiana Tech, and Joey was a second-round borderline first-round pick out of a much bigger school. Cardinal Lake's another guy that played corner, had a great career. I think Joey could get to that level. So, getting away from player analysis, I think Joey's dad was an All-Pro and a Super Bowl champion, and I think that Joey Porter Jr. could definitely be at that All-Pro level as well.
Speaking of his dad, Joey Porter Sr., Peasy, as a lot of Steeler fans know him as, I know that he didn't have really the relationship with James Franklin that he has with Mike Tomlin. So I know that might be hard from you in a Penn State scope that, you know, he wasn't really a distraction per se from that standpoint, because he did not have that previous relationship with James Franklin at Penn State. Now, he does have that with Mike Tomlin. Should there be any concern if you're a Steeler fan that, you know, Peasy's going to get involved with what Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin and others are doing down there? Do you think he'll sort of let this be and he'll let his son write his own career out?
I don't think there's a big concern, Donnie. And I can't say that Joey Porter Sr. is never going to, you know, suggest anything to Mike Tomlin, never going to suggest anything to Terrell Austin, obviously, being that, as far as I know, Tomlin and Porter Sr. are still friends, despite the way that Porter's coaching career with the Steelers ended. But obviously, Joey Porter Sr. likes to talk a lot, and he knows Mike Tomlin well, and he loves his son, so... maybe there will be some discussions about Joey Porter Jr.'s handling, but I think that those discussions are going to be kept in-house. I think that, you know, obviously stuff gets out in the media all the time these days. That's unavoidable, but I can't really see there being a situation where Joey Porter Sr. is such a distraction to where, you know, stuff about his a big blur out between him and Mike Tomlin leaks. I don't see anything like that happening. I don't see like a big scene happening in the Steelers offices or at practice or anywhere like that. So yeah, there might be some discussions, but I think pretty much whatever Mike Tomlin and Joey Porter Sr. talk about regarding JPJ, it's going to be kept behind closed doors. And that's the way Steelers fans would want it, I'm sure. So.
Early on in the free agency period, the Steelers lost Cam Sutton, and, you know, people like me, I said that was priority one, that they should have done everything they could to get Sutton back. A few days later, they make a move that looks even better to me now. They sign Patrick Peterson, the future Hall of Famer. You know, maybe his best years are behind him, what he did in Arizona, what he did in Minnesota early on. But Peterson was still pretty damn good last year, and he is a great veteran presence, I think, without a doubt, for that defensive back group, especially the corners. And now that the Steelers enter Joey Porter Jr., how good of a situation is it for Porter Jr. to be? And he's coming in, and he has one of the best corners in the modern era, you know, to sort of bounce ideas off and learn from day one.
Yeah, it's hard to get better than that, right, from a mentorship standpoint. I'm not going to pretend that I know a ton about Patrick Peterson away from the football field. Obviously, we don't follow the Vikings or the Cardinals too heavily, so I don't know much about the type of guy that Patrick Peterson is, but I know about the player he is. Obviously, first-team All-Pro 3 times, 8 Pro Bowlers, All-Decade performer. That all speaks for itself. And I think Joey and Patrick Peterson could relate to each other just from their college years. Both played at big schools, Patrick Peterson, LSU, Joey, Penn State. Both were high draft choices. Patrick Peterson went 5th overall 2011. Joey went a little lower, but still, first pick of the 2nd round. That's a pretty high spot to go in a 7-round draft. I think I remember we – might have even had this discussion one-on-one, that when the Steelers signed Patrick Peterson, we thought maybe this increases the likelihood of them drafting Joey Porter Jr. or any quarter, because whoever they draft is going to be able to learn from a guy. We talked about the Mel Blount, Rod Woodson, the level. I think Patrick Peterson might be just a shade below that. He's not too far off from those two guys. And those two, like I said, are two of the best ever. So, yeah, it's hard to beat learning from a guy that's pretty likely, I don't know if he's a sure Hall of Famer, but probably a good bet that he's going to have a busting can one day. So, yeah, I think Joey Porter Jr., for a lot of reasons, the Steelers are going to be a playoff team, I believe. We can talk about that on another discussion. That's obviously a big benefit. His dad's history is a big benefit. Joey playing high school football in Wexford near Pittsburgh, a big benefit. And learning from a future Hall of Famer, possibly, in Patrick Peterson, that just makes things even better.
Do you think Joey Porter Jr. is in that starting lineup week one? If not, when do you expect to see him as really one of those top two corners? I mean, it'll be Patrick Peterson, and then it's going to be somebody else across from him.
Oof. That's a tough call. I'll say yes. I don't think there's a really definitive option to start opposite Patrick Peterson right now. And if you asked me this question, and if the Steelers had drafted Joey in the first round, which we all thought was a possibility, if Joey went in the first round, I think we'd be saying, yeah, absolutely, he's going to start week one. Why would you pick a guy in the first round not to start him? Since he's in the second round, it becomes a little more of a debate. But I think, just looking at the Steelers' depth chart and the other quarterbacks they have, Levi Wallace is okay, Mallett's okay. But, I think overall this is a borderline first-round pick. I think if he was the first-round pick, we'd definitely be saying, yeah, they're going to start your first-round pick right away. So, I think he starts week one.
Joe Smeltzer, Nittany Sports Now. Joe, thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.